about.
This is Mr. T, and I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, you better keep listening to the station. And if you don't, I'm coming after you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, sorry, Mr. Call. I'm just calling you back to let you know that I love you and I miss you. I really want you to call me back. And I'm sorry I missed your phone call, and that I know you're done. So when you get this, can you call me back? I love you, and I miss you.
And now,
buddies run around in devil outfits while they're on LSD, and then have prostitutes come in who are menstruating to smear blood all over them just to totally whack them out. I mean, I don't want to get gross here, but this is the type of stuff they do.
Our feature presentation.
Too late to not get gross here.
Well, that's Alex.
Wow. That's strong.
That's real.
That's real, yeah.
He says those things.
I mean, he says those things.
And people believe him.
Yes, unfortunately.
In that case, by the way, he's talking about, if I remember correctly, torture techniques at Guantanamo Bay. He's talking about that's what Americans are doing to the people they believe are terrorists to try to get them to crack and give information.
And if he says it, then it must be
true.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised by anything they do to torture people. But somebody had a very active imagination to come up with that one.
Jesus. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. It is the 23rd of May.
How was everybody's weekend? Everybody good?
Great.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. Fine. No problems.
Good.
That didn't end up in a hospital.
No problem. What?
Survived. Still alive. It's Monday. Just saying. Survived another weekend.
What's going on with your weekends?
Right.
Two more steps closer to death. What? What do you mean?
Well, I'm just saying you're not the kind of guy who survives the weekend
without
going to the emergency room. That sounds like you're just going crazy.
No, I'm just saying every weekend I'm grateful to have survived it and not be the guy that you're, you know, playing the death to before on Monday. That's all. I'm just happy every day. It's like I'm climbing the icy side of a mountain, you know, and every step is fraught with danger. And I'm glad that I'm not, losing my balance and falling to the ground like 30,000 feet to my death.
Like when you walk to the kitchen to get milk, that kind of climbing up an icy mountain?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you're trying to poo-poo on my positive spin on my life here.
Right.
And I won't have it.
I'm sorry.
All right. I've got a you be the judge here, but I fear that the story got so much play over the weekend that you guys will have already heard about it, so we can't really play if you already know the answer. This involves the lesbian couple that was arrested and put in jail after kissing in a Honolulu supermarket. Have you guys seen this story?
I have not,
nope.
No.
Oh, good. Then let's play You Be the Judge.
You be the judge right now. You can be the judge right now. You be the judge.
Here comes the judge.
You be the judge right now. Come on now and be the judge.
There was a cash settlement to a couple named Courtney Wilson and Taylor Guerrero. I'm going to ask you how much they got. They were grocery shopping on their second day of their vacation in Honolulu earlier this year when a police officer saw that they were kissing each other in the supermarket. By the way, lesbian or heterosexual, do you need to be making out in the supermarket?
Depends. Do you have coupons?
Doesn't mention that here, and I'm not sure how that's relevant.
Do you think they're getting coupons?
Well, if you're saving a lot of money, you're like, woohoo, let's make out.
Celebrate. All
right.
And I also, by the way, in the grand tradition of there's never enough goddamn information in any story, I want to know what it means when I read the police officer did not like them being affectionate with one another. Does that mean that he is a nut job and they were just holding hands, or does that mean that it was full on tongue, or were they laying down in the grocery, you know, in the fresh fruit aisle and make it out? I don't know what this means.
I'm guessing they weren't laying down in the fruit aisle.
Okay. I don't know, though. Officer Bobby Harrison observed their consensual romantic contact, it says in the police report, and in a loud voice ordered the plaintiffs to stop and take it somewhere else. Again, what were they doing, and why was he so upset by it? The women then continued shopping, but when Harrison spotted them kissing again, now are they just doing it to mock him now? Are they intentionally creating problems, or was this unrelated to anything the police officer said, and it was just another friendly peck on the cheek? Again, I don't know. He allegedly threatened to kick them out. Things then apparently got physical when the women were trying to check out of the supermarket, and the officer began threatening the couple with repercussions for their actions.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Like, what's happening here?
This is a bad cop.
It sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
All right, here's where it gets murky. At one point, Harrison, the police officer, allegedly punched Taylor Guerrero in the face.
What?
When she tried to push him away from her partner, Wilson. The women were then arrested and charged with felony assault. They were arrested, by the way. He punched her in the face. They were arrested and spent 3 days in jail.
Oh, dear.
Doesn't that sound like, even if they were at their worst behavior in the supermarket, by the time they get arrested and booked, there's not 3 days worth of them waiting around in jail, right?
Right.
Doesn't it seem like that's the type of thing you get released? Yeah, exactly.
Everything about this story is absurd.
Women were charged, spent 3 days in jail. The grocery store surveillance video somehow disappeared, and the charges from the police were eventually dropped, but the women have filed their own lawsuit alleging their constitutional rights were violated. On Friday, the city of Honolulu announced that it has reached a settlement, noting that it did not amount to an admission of wrongdoing. The question for the room is, how much did Courtney Wilson and Taylor Guerrero receive from the city of Honolulu? You be the judge.
See, because I was going to say, do you sue the grocery store? Do you sue the city? Do you sue the police? It's just the city of Honolulu?
Well, it says, let me see, they filed their lawsuit. Let's see who they sued. It sounds to me like the way this is written that the settlement is coming from the police.
Oh, okay. Huh.
I'm going to say city and county of Honolulu.
I'm going to say $2
million. $2
million. When you say it that way, it sounds stupid.
I'm just recapping for the room. That's all.
You're recapping what I said a half of a second.
Yeah.
A half a second ago.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's a high amount because this plays into tourism, plays into a whole bunch of aspects.
Okay. It does make Hawaii look bad.
Yes.
And I can see a story like this sending repercussions, particularly to same-sex couples, about where they choose to take their vacations.
And where they choose to get married, where they choose a lot of things. So I'm going to say,
laying down in the fruit aisle.
See,
I don't know, man.
You're going to say? Were doing that. $5.5
million.
$5.5 million.
All right. Little Ship?
$10 million and coupons for the grocery store.
Oh, you're so right.
Good thinking.
Throw in the coupons. Now you got yourself something. $80,000.
I'm sorry?
$80,000 is what they received.
In court costs.
No, that was the settlement. $80,000.
$80,000.
Oh, Hawaii.
That's right. And by the way, the two women are no longer a couple. They broke up.
Oh, see, Hawaii is ruining relationships.
So, why does Hawaii hate love?
So nothing but bad news in this story.
Wow,
so,
it's the worst.
So maybe we overshot with our
a little bit.
$80,000 is less, but this has been you be the judge.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
How are your loins? Have they stopped burning?
No.
You said that out loud. Yeah. On Mondays, we check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Yeah, we do.
We've been talking about the TSA and all the long lines that they have and people really being frustrated when they travel. Apparently, the new idea is to bring in clowns. That should make everything so much better, right?
Make people leave and go home.
Yeah, they don't want to fly because there's clowns there. So it just makes it easier for everybody else. We're going to do our Bachelorette draft. This is new this year. The Bachelorette is coming back tonight, and so we're all going to gamble on it. That's how we do it.
Well, that's how you get interested in sports that you don't like. For instance, is you put money down on some aspect of it, and all of a sudden you care very deeply about the outcome.
Right, exactly. And we also have Chris Shiflett from Foo Fighters talking about his podcast Walking the Floor, which is very good. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 6.
Hey, Ruff Garman.
Hi.
I thought about you last night. Even so many big stars on the Billboard Music Awards with, you know, with Celine Dion and Britney Spears.
Was ABC on?
Huh?
Was ABC on?
Oh, God, ABC wasn't, but everyone was talking about
me.
Come on. Everyone was talking about how great the Go-Go's were. That was like the big talk last night was the Go-Go's apparently killed it. And you love the Go-Go's.
I do love the Go-Go's.
You see them last night?
I did not.
No. But anyway, how was your weekend?
It was chock full of stuff.
Good stuff?
Busy. Busy both. Stuff. Just busy stuff. Things you got to do, things you want to do.
Right.
Not a moment's rest. I had to come here to work to relax and get some rest. So well, I will be napping in the other room while you guys are going blah, 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 blah.
Next weekend, it's a long weekend.
Right.
Got that. Got that extra day. Be fun. All right, let's take a look at our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
As we do on a Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This Monday is no exception. Number one at the box office this weekend. Not a big surprise. It was a lot of anticipation. A lot of kids out there, a lot of families looking to go to the movies. The Angry Birds movie did very well for itself with $49 million in its debut.
That's not the right. That's the wrong.
That's for the kids. That makes sense.
There you go. All right, that's true.
Is that the bell you use when you have the ice cream van around the neighborhood, Bean? Is that the one?
Funny you should ask it.
Captain America Civil War still strong, although bumped to number two this weekend with $33.1 million. Then Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, in its debut, made $21.8 million. What'd you think, Kevin?
I liked it.
Yep.
You're saying that to mock me, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I just knew. I didn't even know that you went. I just knew that was my go-to. It was a safe assumption for me to say if we needed a review of it, the one guy I was sure in the room had gone would be you, so I threw it to you.
I would say the movie was good, and there were a lot of really funny moments. That's what I would say.
Wow.
The movie wasn't great, but it was good.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the greatest thing ever.
But a lot of funny moments.
There was so much optimism and talk on Fridays about how it was going to be better than the original, I heard at one point.
There were a lot of laughs, Ralph.
Okay.
How was My Sweet Zach?
Yeah. Somebody else ask.
How was My Sweet Zach?
Oh, Zach is amazingly good at comedy.
He's very
I was
very
really
funny, very charismatic.
Take it easy, Bean.
I'm saying
they're
the same thing you're saying.
But they're asking me how he was in this movie.
Okay.
I was surprised how well he did comedy.
Well, you know he was in the first Neighbors,
right? Of course, yes. He was a neighbor.
So how surprised could you have been that he was strong in the comedy when he was strong in the other comedy that he had done with the same name?
Didn't strike
only
me as
with
much
one
in the
number
first
less.
It didn't strike me in the first one.
Did not hit you at all.
No,
he was in a comedy. So maybe
good.
It was a drama. At some
I felt like, no. I felt like he was better this time.
Okay.
He's funny.
All right.
Haha. Right.
Right. Number four at the box office was The Nice Guys, movie I got to see over the weekend.
Oh, how was that?
I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. Here's the weird thing about it: it's set in the 70s, but it plays very much like an 80s action buddy comedy. It's very sort of Lethal Weapon, Tango and Cash. It's certainly got that vibe to it. And Shane Black, who wrote and directed it, certainly knows how to make one of those films. And Ryan Gosling. I was surprised at how funny he is.
He's funny in everything.
No, he's not funny in everything, but he's certainly funny in this. And Russell Crowe was also great. It was very entertaining.
Still wanted to see that one.
I really enjoyed it. It only made $11 million, but it was number four at the box office. Then Jungle Book, Money Monster, The Darkness, Zootopia, The Huntsman, Winter's War, and Mother's Day, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. Sad news we got over the weekend. Alan Young has passed away. He, of course, was the co-star of the wildly popular 60s sitcom Mr. Ed. Mr. Ed was so popular that it's become a thing. If you say Mr. Ed, you know you're talking about a talking horse, right? Of course. Of course you do. When I say Mr. Ed, you think talking horse. Died at the age of 96. Had a very successful voiceover career as well. He was Scrooge McDuck and several other big characters in movies and TV shows. So, passed away at the age of 96. Wilbur. That's from that movie, from that TV show.
Well, they're reunited now.
What?
There's nothing mean about that. I'm just saying the horse passed many years ago, and now they're back together in their new series.
Why? They don't need to be together. It was a horse and a guy. They didn't have a romantic relationship. They just worked together.
We don't know that, Rob.
Oh, you are bad people.
Now they're starting together in Mr. Dead.
Oh. Come on.
Awesome. Possibly.
And Calvin Harris made a trip to the ER on Friday night. According to TMZ, a 16-year-old girl driving a VW Beetle crossed over a center line and crashed into his SUV. Ooh. Pretty bad accident. One of the passengers in the Volkswagen was reportedly ejected from the vehicle. Word is he asked for a private room at a Burbank hospital, but one wasn't available, so he just got up off the gurney and left the hospital against medical advice. Calvin said he was in a lot of pain, but he's used to it because he dates Taylor Swift. So apparently he was able to walk out. It wasn't nearly as painful as listening to her. I'm sorry for the realness. Today's celebrity birthday is Drew Carey. You know him. He's a sweetheart of a guy.
Nice guy.
Love Drew.
58 years old today. Melissa McBride, the actress, plays Carol in The Walking Dead. She's 51. H. John Benjamin. Speaking of voiceover careers, this guy's in everything. Family Guy. Bob's Burgers. Archer, of course.
Of course.
Great as Archer. 50 years old today. And Jewel. Singer Jewel. Jewel. Alaska's own Jewel. Celebrates her 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
New week. That means a new giveaway for you. And this time around, it's K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016 Destination Number 1. Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas, guys. 9 o'clock this morning. We got 3-day passes for you. It's in September with Mumford & Sons and Jimmy Eat World, Jane's Addiction, The Lumineers, so much more. Get all the details at KROQ.com. And you're also qualified for a grand prize trip to the festival, including hotel and airfare. You can go to KROQ.com for all the details.
Time for a brand new citizen of the day, people.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
A Colorado woman is facing charges of robbery and child abuse.
Oh, no.
After allegedly attempting to rob a bank while babysitting two kids.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, we do live in a very active, busy world, and sometimes you just have to multitask.
Rachel Ionspar, 28 years old, was arrested Friday afternoon. She pulled up to the drive-through window of a bank and said, there's a guy in the back seat that's got a gun on the kids, so you got to give me some money. So they gave the woman $500 in cash, and she drove away, and they called the cops. And the cops came, and they found the van that the woman was in, you know, a couple of blocks from the actual bank. And they went in, and they said, hey, how about you don't do that anymore? Let's arrest you.
So no guy. She just made up the story for the money. And by the way, if I rob a bank and I only get away with $500, I feel like it was not a good decision.
Agreed.
And wouldn't you hide the license plate at the very least?
I don't know. I can't answer all of these questions.
I need you to answer. Were they her kids?
No.
Okay, she was babysitting someone else's.
Well, I assume babysitting means it's somebody else's.
Well, you would, but then...
I don't know.
Now, will that family hire her again to look after her children?
It depends. I mean, how much of the $500 did they get?
Okay, good. Right? So there's an upside.
There's also a lot of nudity in these stories. Naked man... let's play Would You Click on This Story, Bean.
All right.
Naked man walks into stranger's home, says hi, falls off cliff.
And home is a cliff.
A man in Pendleton, Oregon is behind bars after allegedly walking naked into the home of a woman that he didn't know.
Ooh.
According to this article,
go on.
Gail Wilson was home, and I don't know why they put this detail in, but she was eating soup on Saturday. I don't know why we need to know that. The guy appears in her doorway and says, hi, honey.
Oh.
And she says, hey, I don't know who you are.
But would you like some soup?
She shoved the naked intruder and told him to go away. The man grabbed the dog and ran into another room.
Oh, no.
Which is not good. Wilson called 911. The dispatcher told her to ask his name, so she asked what the guy's name was, and that made him mad, and he ran out of the house and jumped the fence. And apparently there was a cliff on the other side of the fence, and he was hanging from the tree naked. By 1 foot.
This story
upside
has
down.
Everything.
Not yet. Oh. The police showed up and he tried to pull the pistol out of the policeman's holster.
Oh.
While hanging upside down, naked.
Bad move.
What kind of soup, though? Did it?
It didn't say what kind of soup.
What kind of dog?
How far she didn't say that either.
Was the guy? Look, you don't know this, but I mean, was he sleepwalking? Was he high on drugs? Was he a sexual predator? Like, what was his intent showing up at that lady's house? Do you think?
The officer said that he seemed to be in a state known as excited delirium. Okay. That is sometimes brought on by drugs.
Well, what part of Florida did that story happen in? That's the only question I have.
A Cincinnati man faces charges after exposing his genitals and threatening an employee at a McDonald's Saturday.
Hmm.
How wrong can things go at a McDonald's, right? They have their menu. You know what they have. You order it. They give it to you. Just put it in your face and walk away. That's what you do. Mark Callahan, though, did not. He exposed his penis at the McDonald's. And threatened an employee saying that he would, quote, do bad things to his buttocks.
What?
That's quite a threat.
To his own or to the employee?
Well, I don't think he was threatening his own buttocks. I'm assuming it was the employee.
Oh,
yeah.
No one who works at McDonald's makes enough money to have to deal with this.
And then he ran outside and stayed in the parking lot, and the cops came. He would not leave the parking lot, so the cops came and arrested him for indecent exposure and aggravated menacing, which I didn't know was a... thing.
Wow. Don't go to Ohio.
And finally,
aggravating menacing.
Finally, would you click on this story? Man shoots up bathroom when occupant takes too long, police say.
When you got to go, you got to go, Kevin.
A Connecticut man is behind bars after being accused of shooting up his neighbor's bathroom. Sean Cummins, 22, was arrested early Sunday. The police say that he went over to his neighbor's apartment to hang out around 2 a.m. At some point, he became super upset because somebody wouldn't get out of the bathroom, so he pulled out a pistol and shot a bullet into the bathroom.
I feel like he could have just gone home to use his.
Right. He lives next door.
Or knock.
Maybe knock.
Maybe,
sure.
Hey,
yeah.
Really kind of getting desperate out here.
Hey, is there another bathroom in the house?
How long are you going to be? So apparently he pulled out his pistol. He shot a bullet. It barely missed the person inside. Cummings has been charged with a variety of crimes, including unlawful discharge of a firearm, first-degree reckless endangerment, and disorderly conduct.
What about what time of day he went over to his neighbor's house to hang out, as you put it?
2 a.m.
2 a.m.? Nothing good ever happens after 2 a.m.
I've heard that's true. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. So I couldn't find it in here, but I assume the guy in the bathroom was named Beer Mug. Right?
Well, yeah.
He does take his time.
30 minutes in there, so if you're desperate to use the restroom, that is not a guy that you want to follow. And that is your Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Chris Shiflett, guitarist for Foo Fighters, on the program later on today. Very excited about having Chris back. You know, we've had him on a bunch of times with the band playing live, but I don't think we've ever one-on-one gotten a chance to interview him before.
That's correct.
So that's going to be fun. First, it's Monday morning. That means our friend Harvey Levin on the line from the newsroom at TMZ. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Can I ask a favor right off the bat? I know you're on to talk about some stuff. Will you do something for me?
Yeah.
I'm looking for a candy bar that has milk chocolate, peanuts, almonds, pistachios, and Nutella. Can you help me?
Huh? I don't understand.
TMZ chocolate bar I read about this weekend?
Oh.
You have your own candy bar? Your own TMZ candy bar? What's this about?
Come on, man. I mean, you know, you gotta make a living somehow.
Look, I know you have the bus tour, and that makes sense. How does the candy bar work for your site?
I get some of the guys here. I say, look, you know what? I need some extra help, so can you walk around door to door on the weekends for a couple hours?
That's nice.
So I have them sell candy bars.
All right. Well, it sounds delicious, and I would think that your friends Kevin and me would have had some delivered by now if this candy bar exists.
Oh, I'll get you. If you're interested, I will absolutely get
you. If we're interested, have we?
Well, I mean, assuming that you do a shout-out for the candy bars on the...
did before you even knew about it.
Hells yeah. It just sounds delicious. That's all I'm saying. So.
Send the guys from Kevin and Bean some candy bars.
Right.
We can work that out later.
Hook a brother up. All right. Let's talk about what's on the site, and let's start with what could have been a far more tragic story. When I read the details on TMZ over the weekend of this Calvin Harris car accident, I was like, this dude's lucky to be alive.
Well, did you see the pictures?
Yes.
Holy smokes, if this accident happened 1 second earlier, it probably would have been a head-on collision. So he is driving Coldwater Canyon. He's a passenger in an SUV at around 11 o'clock Friday night. And these kids in a VW convertible, VW Bug convertible, are driving in the opposite direction on Coldwater. The 16-year-old girl is at the wheel. She loses control, crosses the center line, and slams into the SUV. And it was so bad. One of the girls was sitting on her boyfriend's lap, obviously without a seatbelt. She was ejected from the VW. She broke her pelvis. Oh, it was really serious. He had apparently a bad enough laceration on his face that he was taken by ambulance to a Burbank hospital. Now, law enforcement's telling us he was inside there. He was a private guy, and he said, look, I want a private room. And he was in the ER, and when they said they didn't have one, he got off the gurney and left against medical advice. Now, his reps are saying, no, he was already treated. But law enforcement's telling me, no, he was on the gurney in the ER, and they did not want him to leave, but he did.
Now, was he worried that the news would spread and that people would show up at the hospital? I mean, was he just trying to stay out of the press?
So he's a private guy.
But that's not even his real name. Like, you wouldn't have even known if you'd have seen that name on a hospital. You wouldn't even have known it was Calvin Harris.
Well, people knew it was him. I mean, he's really famous. But, law enforcement was at the scene, and there were people there. So, I mean, people knew it was Calvin Harris. But, he didn't do anything wrong, obviously. I mean, he's sitting in an SUV, and, he gets hit.
I'm surprised that somebody from the VW bug didn't get injured, especially considering it was...
No. I said that two people got injured from the bug, including
I didn't mean injured. I meant killed. I mean, it sounded
killed.
Like it could have been so much worse.
Well, the girl was ejected.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm telling you, if it were 1 second earlier, because the right quarter panels were hit on both cars, and it could have been head on.
Harvey, when I was a teenager, about the same age as this girl in the bug, I was a passenger in a VW Beetle that was in a head-on collision with a car that crossed the center line and broke both of my legs and dislocated my hip in that accident.
Wow.
So these, I mean, obviously, it's no secret that car accidents are serious, but it can always be worse. That's awful. Well,
it's
glad.
Okay. He's alive.
He's okay.
Everything's
right.
Okay.
Yep.
He's alive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk Floyd Mayweather real quick. You go, just because you have all the money in the world doesn't mean you have to blow it in one night. Right, Harvey?
Well, come on. I mean, he made a lot of money. So, I mean, what's the big deal spending $1 million on your daughter's sweet 16? Come on.
I just don't know that any 16-year-old needs $1 million party for any reason ever.
Bean, you know Floyd Mayweather, for God's sakes. That's what he's all about.
She has to impress her friends.
Right. All right. How did he spend the money, and how much do you reckon it cost, Harvey?
Okay, so it starts with this amazing barbecue in Vegas, and then it migrates over to the Mirage at night in the Grand Ballroom, where they did not have a bar mitzvah band. They had Future and Drake performing.
Bad. Like you do.
And Bieber could not be there, so he gave a video happy birthday to the girl.
Sure.
And it was lavish and crazy, and she got a G-Wagon. And he told us he spent seven figures on this thing.
Unbelievable. What's that? Their G-Wagon, that's a Mercedes, right?
Yeah.
What's that cost?
Well, please. Well, I mean, what do you think he's going to get? A Buick?
Right?
Right.
That's
don't
true.
Be ridiculous. Stupid. Stupid. That's unbelievable for your 16-year-old daughter. That's crazy. I love it. All right. You can see all these stories and so much more at TMZ.com and be on Channel 11 all day, every day for TMZ. Old school TMZ live at 4, TMZ Sports airing at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, if you got people visiting this summer, why not check out the TMZ tour? Get your tickets at TMZ.com. And we'll be
candy
looking
bars,
for those
candy bars.
Candy bars, candy bars, candy looking bars. Looking for those candy bars later this week, Harvey. Thanks for the time, man.
Okay, guys. Bye.
With Memorial Day weekend coming up, many people will be taking to the skies once again. Air travel is at an all-time high, by the way. I know I said this last time we talked about the TSA, but when was the last time you were on a plane that had even one empty seat?
It's been a while.
Been a while, right?
Been a while, yeah.
Well, the TSA, as you know, is having a lot of getting a lot of bad press because of how long the lines are at the airport. So they're trying some new things around the country. Here's an article.
They're hiring more people?
Well, they're working on that.
Oh, that's
but silly. Here's what they're doing to make the travelers forget the misery that they're in standing in line for 2 or 3 hours at a time. Is they're trying to make it fun to go to the airport, Kevin. At the airport in Seattle and in Atlanta, they are using musicians. They have musical performers that are there. Now, I don't know if they've got people strolling up and down the line, playing like in an Italian restaurant or how it's working, but they think music will make people feel better. Northern Kentucky International Airport, which, of course, serves what city, Kevin?
Northern Kentucky.
Cincinnati, Ohio is using therapy horses in their airport.
Therapy horses.
Because I like that.
Who can be sad if there's a pony around?
Yes. What about just speeding up the process?
No, no, no. Oh. Go to San Diego. The international airport there is sending in clowns. They have clowns at the airport. Because that's going to cheer people up, right? Everybody loves clowns, right?
I don't think everybody loves clowns.
Well, let's find out how the program works. We asked Dave, who can we speak to? And I don't think we got anyone from the TSA, but we do have Juggles the Clown, who joins us from San Diego on the phone right now.
I think it's Jangles.
It's Jangles.
Sorry. Hi, Jangles. How are you?
Go F yourself.
I apologize. That was my mistake, sir. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Well, we're a little confused as to how you make it better to go to the airport and wait on a long TSA line.
How do I make it better? How do I make it better? Just like that.
Just playing that horn?
Yeah.
But, Jangles, you're aware that a lot of people are not calmed down by clowns. In fact, the opposite is true. There are people who are terrified of clowns.
How can you be sad when there's a clown around? Hey, that carry-on looks a little oversized. Doesn't fit in the box. Ooh, the box.
Do you do, like, tricks for people in line? Are you standing right there as people go up to the TSA?
I do. I say, wow, looks like more than 3 ounces of liquid. Filter in the face.
Well, again, it's not fun for anyone to travel, and then having a clown put seltzer in their face is not going to cheer anyone up.
It is. It's refreshing. Everyone around you thinks it's awesome. Huh. Oh, you look a little hungry. Pie in the face.
Can you imagine?
You know, statistically speaking, air travel is still the safest, so you probably won't die.
Oh, that is not reassuring.
Hey, you have any room in your carry-on for this?
You make a balloon animals, Jangles?
What's he making?
What are you making?
The guy's missing his flight.
I want to get on, but I can't wait. Can't wait to see what he makes.
It's a hat.
That's it?
He thinks he's wearing when he goes in the plane. Like, oh, look at me. I got a balloon hat. Everybody's happy then.
I got to be completely honest with you, Jangles. This is a terrible idea.
Oh, not as bad as this one.
Is that what I... Jangles. Come on.
What's going that? On? Help.
I fear for what's happening.
Anyone?
Jangles.
Jangles is going through some stuff.
I didn't think I'd blow up the balloons to make the animals.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He needs to really get in depth and give us about a paragraph so that we all lose train of what he's thinking.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh. Don't want to lose train,
right?
No, you don't.
No, you do not.
Hope was that guy last week. What were? I don't even recognize that. You guys are just editing stuff together.
No.
To be funny, aren't you?
No, I remember when that was said. I forget what the topic of conversation was, but it was. It was one of those moments where everybody looks at each other and goes, "Yep, mm-hmm. yep." Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm terrified that I no longer even hear those things anymore as sounding out of place coming out of Kevin's mouth.
It was during an interview. I remember that you guys were interviewing somebody.
Oh, no.
I was trying to think who it was.
That's so much worse.
Can I hear it again? Do you mind?
Because that's usually when Bean misses it, because Bean's so preoccupied thinking about what his question's going to be and stuff and engaging with the guest that sometimes he'll miss it, Kevin.
Wait, you ask if I mind? Yes, I mind.
Let's hear it again.
Get right to the show.
Come on, one more time.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He needs to really get in depth and give us about a paragraph so that we all lose train of what he's thinking.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I like it. All right, Ralph, time for you to get in depth and give us a paragraph on the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning.
Wow.
Let's just take the week. Everybody, head on home. Get some rest.
I admit that I'm a little distracted because we're about to do our first ever Bachelorette draft, and I am perusing all of the candidates that we have to choose from because we're doing that coming up next.
Well, don't bother.
Because?
What do you mean?
Don't bother, because I've been in the war room all morning.
Oh,
all right. I got the team. We've got the best player on the board, and I pulled the number one. I got the first pick.
Oh, that's...
I'm on the clock.
That's curious.
I'm on the clock.
That does sound suspicious.
Oh, does it? Well, yeah. Ask your boy Dave, because he was the one who coordinated the lottery, so...
So he's the one you paid off to get the number one
pick?
Did
not pay anybody off. Just reached in, grabbed my number, boom. Right. One, best player on the board, bye-bye.
Not my fault.
So everyone can just relax, because you're all not getting roses.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do on a Monday morning. The Angry Birds movie, very successful. $40 million made it number one this week. Then Captain America Civil War, still crushing it. About $34 million made it number two at the box office. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, did a strong debut number of $21.8 million. Made it number three, The Nice Guys, Gosling and Crow. $11.3 million in its debut. Not very strong, but I really enjoyed this film. And sadly, it's all nice and set up at the end for another one. This could be an ongoing series of films. Mm-hmm. But I get the sense that maybe if it's opening at $12 million, we may not get to see a second one. But I
love the
it.
Idea of Russell Crowe doing comedy, by the way.
He's great in this, too, by the way. Very unlike anything you've ever seen him in before. In the sense that usually he's very, are you not entertained? Very, you know, very emotive, you know? But he's sort of cool and laid back and huge in this movie.
Huge,
by the way. Huge.
Buff?
No, huge.
Oh, fat. Okay.
Like Steven Seagal huge.
Wow.
I don't know what was going on, whether it was for the role or not, but boy, he's got a gut.
Wow.
But it fit for the character because he's supposed to play like a down-and-out sort of schlubby
so he was
leg breaker.
Eating for the role.
I don't know what he was eating for, but he was eating. Jungle Book, number five at the box office. Money Monster, The Darkness, Zootopia, The Huntsman, Winter's War, and Mother's Day. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Get a little update on Anthony Kiedis. Of course, famously had to leave the Weenie Roast with a severe stomach ailment. And, you know, it was odd to some of us when we heard the news because they said intestinal flu was the problem. But backstage, the story was that Anthony had sort of something protruding from his stomach. Something sort of inflamed and enlarged. Now it's all starting to come together. Apparently, the intestinal flu caused an infection of some old scar tissue he had from a hernia operation.
Oh.
And it created what was called a impassable infected mass.
Is that what they wrote the song Scar Tissue about? I just wonder. I mean, just a coincidence? What? Tell me more.
I had inflammation in my guts, Anthony said. And after spending a few days in the hospital, he said he's feeling good. Not great, but good. So he's still on the mend. So we wish him all the best. But it sounded like a bad deal right there.
It did.
I don't know if you guys saw the Billboard Music Awards.
Did not.
This weekend. I didn't bother. There's nothing there to interest me. Listen to this lineup. Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, Britney Spears. Whew. Why would I... I was watching clips online, however, and everybody lip-synced. So that makes it enjoyable when there's not a live performance to be had.
Excellent.
Except perhaps for the exception of Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton. They did their duet, Go Ahead and Break My Heart, live. So a lot to be seen. But boy, Britney Spears has just become the Pam Anderson of music.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She just gets out there just sort of like glazed over, throwing her boobs around, riding a guitar like it's a pony.
Dave said she's a terrible dancer.
She's awful. It looked like she looked like a stripper, like a C-grade stripper.
She's been working on that for a long time.
I know. Remember when she was the biggest star in the world? And they gave her like the Lifetime Achievement Award or something anyway. But the big winner apparently, Adele, won for Top Artist. Top male artist was Justin Bieber. Top female artist, also Adele. Top group, One Direction. That's all you need to know about this award show.
Sure.
Really? One Direction, one for best group. Weekend also had a big night. The Weekend did very well for himself. Looking into getting that extra E now. That's how well he did. Today's celebrity birthdays. Drew Carey's 58 years old today. Melissa McBride turns 51. H. John Benjamin turns 50. And Jewel is 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, Ralph Garman, is it like Christmas morning waking up and realizing that tonight's the night that the Bachelorette returns?
It's raining, it's not raining bad. It's not raining bad.
Ben, is, Ben is gone. Ben is over. Ben missed his chance with JoJo. Loser. He's lost his chance. He gets does not get another chance. Good day, sir. You get nothing, sir.
For those of us who don't watch it, the way it works is, so Ben was the bachelor, and he had to choose between two women, and he went off and is going to marry one of them. And the other one is JoJo. So she's damaged and unloved and unwanted. And now they give her her own show so that now she gets to be cruel and eliminate all but one of the men who
want
to date
make
her?
Everything sound so negative, Bean.
Well, that's how it works, though, right?
It's not how it works. And so it's not always necessarily the runner-up that gets their own show. It varies from season to season. But in this particular case, America did fall in love with JoJo Fletcher, and they wanted to see her find love. And so they're giving her the opportunity because it works. If you work it. Keep coming back.
And she's a good deal. You're a fan of hers, right?
A huge fan. She was my pick, a la this draft that we're about to do. Early on in Ben's season, I fell in love, deeply in love with JoJo, and I said I want her to see her go all the way, and she almost got there. But it's this better now for me, because now I get a whole season of JoJo and a lot less Ben and those other broads.
Way better. All right, so the idea is that for those of us who don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, now we've got a reason to be invested because there's going to be some credits put on it because we are going to each select a contestant to root for on the show.
What we're going to do is we're going to do a little Bachelorette fantasy draft.
Woo!
Where everyone has drawn a number in the lottery of the draft. We're going to go in the series in the sequence of rounds.
I'd like to lodge a complaint that Ralph somehow is number one.
Dave,
gets the number one pick.
You tell him what happened, please.
Put his hand in the bag, pulled out numero uno.
Pulled out number one. So I will get to go first in the draft, and then we'll go through the rest of the staff. Everybody gets to pick one contestant on The Bachelorette.
Okay.
And whoever goes furthest this season will be the big grand prize winner.
Wow. Okay.
Right.
All right. So your contestant doesn't have to win. It just has to go further than everybody
whoever
else.
Whoever goes longest. If they win, obviously, then you're the winner.
Sure,
but,
sure, sure.
But as the contestants get eliminated, whoever remains will be the winner. Yes,
okay.
Allie, you have
How
a question?
How much money are we putting in here?
You know, we'll talk about that later. Just $1,000 each.
I have a question also, Ralph. And I feel that you have a distinct advantage here, not only because you rigged the order of which you get
Didn't
to
rig it.
Didn't rig it.
Somebody here is George Bush and somebody here is the Supreme Court. That's all I know. But here's my question. You've been watching this show for 10 years now. Is there a pattern in terms of what kind of occupations are most likely to win or what kinds of looking, you know, the way the guy looks is most likely to win? What can you tell us about a trend in The Bachelorette?
Why in a million years think I would give you any clues as to who to pick
because
this competition?
Because you have first pick anyway. You're going to pick the person you think is going to win. So what you say is only going to help us. It's not going to hurt
but
you.
But I still want you to crash and burn.
Okay. All right.
Now, here's the thing. We're all at a disadvantage because historically, I always made my picks based on the first episode. You get to see first contact. You get to see if they had any initial chemistry.
I got
you. Get to learn a little about the guys. He interacts with the other contestants.
So the impression you get of them helps you pick.
Very much so.
Okay.
Right now, we're just going on metrics and the photos that we have of these guys.
Okay.
And that is the most difficult way to choose because you get no sense of who these people are as a person. A person could look like crap on paper. But in reality, when you meet him, say, wow, he seems like a really good dude. I can see why she might be interested.
Seems like we should be doing this tomorrow.
You would think, but here's the thing. By tomorrow, if we watch it already, someone will have already got the first impression rose. I mean, there will be definite indicators as to who has a lead already and who doesn't.
Yeah, dude, you don't wait till after week one to get a fantasy team in football. Come on, get with it.
This is the most. This is the most sort of fair way for everyone to have the same shot.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Bean
was asking, how do you pick? You know, how do you go in? And it's hard. But I'm going to go ahead with my pick.
Okay. Okay.
Picking first from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Team JoJo. Here's the thing. As I was saying, metrics are an important thing as you read these bios, and on paper, my guy has some strikes against him.
Okay.
But I think it's the intangibles that will show up on the field.
The intangibles
that will make
that you
him
know nothing about.
Because look, my guy's 5'7". It's not a great height.
Right.
He's lacking in the height department. Does not have a lot of vertical leap. But, however, he's a former U.S. Marine.
That's my pick.
It's not your pick. Because Ralph has pick one.
And wait for this. When asked what was the most outrageous thing he'd ever done, I ripped the door off a totaled burning car and pulled the unconscious driver out to safety.
Holy liar!
Right?
Yes. Wow.
Whoa.
Yes.
He's a liar.
Right? That's an intangible right there. That's a great story at the first cocktail party to drop on JoJo.
Should the rest of us even pick?
I'm just saying. There's a lot of good choices this year, but I am going with Alex. So I'm picking Alex. U.S. Marine Alex.
Very impressive.
Will be my first pick in the Bachelor contestant fantasy draft.
Who's number two?
Chip is up at number two.
Seriously, who's number two?
Chip. Who are you picking, Chip?
All right, I'm going to go with Jordan.
Oh!
Jordan.
And here's why. What favorite movies? Wedding Crashers and Princess Bride.
Yep.
And he was also a Miami Dolphin from April 2014 to May 2014.
Yeah! He was a former pro quarterback and...
Semi-pro.
Brother of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. So he's got a little sizzle to him. He's got a little extra celebrity factor that I think JoJo might find fascinating and alluring. I think that's an excellent
choice. I do, too. Former NFL player is going to get any woman's attention. That's a good pick there, Chip. All right.
Who's number three?
That's Jordan. Number three is Allie. Yeah. Allie is going at number three.
Wow. It's between two, but I believe I'm going to go with, on looks alone, I'm going with Chase.
Chase
is a medical sales rep. He has a tattoo of a lion on his left rib. He loves to skydive. All-time favorite movies, Gladiator, Ace Ventura, and The Chronicles of Narnia. He's got layers.
Oh,
he's layered. I like everything about him. Everything.
All right. He said he wouldn't sell his truck for love. That's the guy you want, huh? The guy who refused to sell his truck for love is the one thing he wouldn't do for love?
It's probably a really nice truck.
Yeah. All right, Chase. Allie goes with Chase.
Who's number four?
Bean is picking at number four. Bean Baxter.
Yes. I am number four, and I'm approaching this draft a little differently than you guys. I believe all of the people who sign up to be on this show are heinous, hideous, awful people. So I...
Always finding the bright side.
I don't understand the appeal of any of these people. I hate all of them. So I thought, you know what? Why not go for the worst person on the board? Why the hell not? And I am going with Daniel. He is a male model. He was asked if he considers, if he's comfortable wearing swimwear in public. He says, very comfortable. Why have a Lambo if you park it in the garage, is what Daniel said.
Oh, F you, Daniel.
But you missed the question when they asked him if he had tattoos, and he said, no, you don't put stickers on a Lambo.
Exactly.
The guy walked Lambo into his bio twice.
Wow.
He asked six questions, and he said Lambo twice.
Wow. He is a male model, and my other favorite question is, your biggest date fear, all right? The worst thing that could ever happen on a date, and he says that she doesn't look like she does in her picture. So this is the guy, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel.
Daniel will be gone by tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to get bounced during the cocktail party, but being... Good for you. Good
choice,
man.
He is going all the way. Daniel is my pick.
He shan't go all the way. Christine at number five. You're up. You're on the clock.
All right. I'm very excited that my number two pick is still available.
Don't you pick mine.
I don't think you're going to pick him.
Okay, good.
I'm going with the guy who said the three things on his bucket list are to visit every national park, sail around the world, and run a ranch and tomato farm. I'm going with Nick S.
Nick S.
You're right. I would not pick Nick S.
Nick
he's
S.
cute.
Nick S. is an Eagle Scout.
He is.
Oh,
he's so sweet.
No way.
He's wearing a scarf in his picture. he's adorable, you guys.
No way. JoJo goes for an Eagle Scout, by the way. I know a little of JoJo, and she is a good time gal who's not spending
Damn
any time
it.
With an Eagle
Damn
Scout.
It.
That's a better choice for Christine than an Eagle Scout.
I know. Christine thinks she's the best.
Wait a second.
Correct.
That's not how they're picking? Is that who I want for me?
Good luck, Christine. Kevin at number six. You're number six. Kevin, you're on the clock.
I'm going with Brandon.
Brandon.
As an occupation, he put hipster.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a romantic and why? Yes, hopeless. I see love everywhere. I want to experience someone from the inside out.
Oh.
I want the Notebook type of experience.
Oh.
Brandon. Hipster.
Hipster Brandon.
That's my choice.
Kevin's choice.
All
right,
all
Dave,
way.
You're going at round number seven. You're on the clock.
All right. What I know from The Bachelor is that these douches always end up being picked or whatever. So I'm going with Vinny. Vinny.
No way.
Vinny. Would you describe yourself as the party starter, the wingman, or the laid-back one? I can play the role of all three. F this dude. So he's going to win.
Okay, so you hate him, so you're picking him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, Vinny has no shot.
All right.
If this was Jersey Shore, he would have a chance. Who is up next? Omar at number 8. Omar picking number 8. Omar, who do you got?
I got the guy who has the best job on here. He's very successful, and his name is Wells.
Wells.
What kind of name is Wells, by the way? And his occupation's a radio DJ, so you know that dude's a loser.
Oh, come on!
So I'm picking. That's my pick.
Actually, he did go diving with sharks in a shark cage in South Africa. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty
great
cool.
Lights,
yeah, but he also doesn't love pizza. So can you trust a guy who doesn't love pizza?
The only thing worse is eating it with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
How dare
it is worse. Right. Yeah. Wells, not a bad pick, Omar. I think you might get some distance out of that pick, Wells.
All right. So what is there? Is it, it's like a half-hour show tonight, Ralph?
I believe it's the first 2 hours.
Tonight.
Yeah. Mm. Are we picking for Petros, too? Should we throw him a bone? Should
yeah.
Give
let's
him,
pick.
Should we give him,
give him one of the black guys.
Should we give him a running room?
I'm just saying because they never
because
they never get past episode 4.
Let's give him somebody.
I feel like maybe Chad because Chad is a handsome guy. I think he's going to go far.
He said his greatest achievement to date was being born good looking.
Well,
he said
right.
that out loud.
Yes,
he's right.
But no one says that.
Right.
Who would
Chad
say
does,
that?
Chad.
Petros awful.
Petros has.
What
Chad.
About Luke, the war veteran?
No, I would give him Derek. Derek has those dreamy blue eyes. He's 6'3", he's got all the metrics, loves Field of Dreams and Star Wars.
He's a banker.
He's a banker.
That guy's not a
you
banker.
You guys are giving him a real one.
And he's not here. We can totally give him a comedy pick.
And he once went drunkenly skinny dipping in the ocean when sharks were active. Come on, that's a man.
Sharks.
All right, let's give him Derek.
Derek. All right, Derek. All right. That's a man's Derek. Name, Derek, right there.
What time's the Bachelorette Report tomorrow after with a recap of episode 1, Ralph?
8:05.
8:05. 8:05. Like I know what time I'm going on.
Chris Shiflett, guitarist for Foo Fighters, joins us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, we're going to give you tickets for the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas with Mumford & Sons, Jimmy Eat World, The Shins, Dirty Heads, Major Lazer, and more. Get all the details at KROQ.com.
All right, let's talk about traveling a long distance for one event.
How did this come up last week?
That's a great question.
The reason I ask is because somehow last week, Kevin, you were telling a story about flying all the way to Dublin for a weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Well, this sort of doesn't count in that I didn't have to pay for it. The station did. Mm-hmm. But we needed somebody to broadcast from the U2 show on a Saturday night. And so the only way that that could happen is if I flew from LAX to Dublin on Friday.
Oh, wow.
Arriving Saturday, of course,
uh-huh.
and then going to the show Saturday night, and then getting back on a plane Sunday and coming back home.
And how'd that go?
Well, I was in the air way longer than I was on the ground.
Oh, my God.
But it was awesome, because I love U2, and they were playing Dublin, their hometown, mm-hmm. and so it was a crazy good show, and I snuck into first class and all that stuff. So it was a good time.
Yeah, you did.
It was a good time.
So that's what got us talking about how far have you traveled to see a thing? Like, you didn't go someplace on vacation. You went to go do a thing or see a thing, and you turn around and went back. After you brought up the story last week, Brian writes in, "Hey, Kevin and Bean, I drove from Wichita, Kansas to Chicago to see Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field. That's a 9-hour drive each way.
Wow.
I would do it again, too. The monkey may have traveled further, but I picked up the cost for mine. Fire beer mug." That says Brian. So that's the kind of thing we're looking for, is how far did you go? And I imagine most of the stories will be to see a concert, I would think.
I would
right?
think so, yeah.
Which is fine. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I had a little crisscrossing going on last summer because I was on. I already had plans to go to London on vacation, and among the things that I was doing there during the vacation was to see Taylor Swift, which I did at Hyde Park.
Sure.
So after that was already booked, it was announced that the Grateful Dead were going to be doing some shows in San Francisco, Santa Clara, really. And I thought, I gotta see that. And at the time, by the way, these were going to be the last ever shows. they're still on the road. So I thought, I gotta see that, but what am I going to do? I'm in England. So I went through my travel agent and rearranged my entire schedule and saw Taylor Swift on the Saturday night in London and then got on a plane first thing Sunday morning and flew back to the west coast of the United States
Landed in San Francisco, got my little rental car, and drove straight to the stadium and saw the Grateful Dead on Sunday night in Santa Clara.
That is such a not bean thing to do.
I know. Weird.
Although
was
the people he
it?
Saw. You know,
was it worth it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was totally great. But, I mean, it was – I mean, look, I would have had to fly back to the West Coast eventually a few days later anyway to get back home. Mm-hmm. But I rearranged everything just to make the trip so I could see the Dead, thinking it was going to be the last time. Now you can see him every weekend. I didn't know that at the time. But, I mean, I think that counts as rearranging your schedule and flying
sure,
an incredibly long distance to go see a concert.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did, but yeah, that's a lot of miles right there.
It is funny that they lied and said that it was going to be their last show, though.
Yeah, they sure did, didn't they?
That actually is quite
they
funny.
They sure did. All right, so how far did you travel to see a thing? That's the question. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we take line one, San Pedro, Andy, real quick before the break. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
thank you. What's the furthest you traveled for an event?
Me and my wife flew from San Pedro, L.A., to Boston to see Blue October, but we saw them in Boston, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. Three concerts, 3 days.
I'm sorry, Andy. Blue October.
Yeah. They used to sing the Hate Me song.
Right.
That's a long way to go for a band that you have to explain who they are to people.
Well,
what is the thing that they don't play on the West Coast?
Yeah, they don't play a lot on the West Coast. But this is like a couple years ago when they were still...
Oh, when Blue October was at the height of its fame.
Yeah.
Remember, guys, when you couldn't get away from Blue October every time
so
you turned on the radio?
Judgy, Bean. The guy and his wife likes the band. They flew to see him. Leave him alone.
Right, but that's a crappy band to fly that far to see. That's all I'm saying.
They may not be. They may be great, but who the hell knows? All right, Andy, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067 will take your calls. What's the furthest you went to see a thing next on K-Rock? Taking your grueling travel stories, long distances you travel to see a thing at 1-800-520-1067. As always, you can always text the Kevin and Bean Show at the number 2 K-Rock. Listen to this from the 949. My husband and I drove 24 hours straight from Los Angeles to Austin for the inaugural Formula One race.
Huh.
24 hours to go see a race. Alex from Reno writes in, furthest I've ever traveled for a show was last year's Weenie Roast. I drove from Reno, Nevada to Irvine, which is about 500 miles. Had a great time, but I blacked out right before Muse took the stage because I drank too much.
Oh, no.
So let's see what you've got here at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Dawn? She's on line 6 in Los Angeles to get us going here.
Hey, Dawn.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Well, we thought you might tell us your story.
Where did you go? To see what?
Well, it's not that it's far, but I don't like to fly, so I took a train from Los Angeles to Hershey, Pennsylvania to see New Kids on the Block.
Okay.
Well, you were with your parents and you were young, so that's fun.
Not so much. Oh. It was 2012 when I was 34.
But don't New Kids on the Block play all over the country?
Well, it was the only date that year.
Oh, my gosh. A train to
I
Pennsylvania.
Know,
how long?
Part,
how long?
I hate what?
How long did it take to take the train there?
2.5 days.
Oh, my God. I love it.
And here's the kicker. And it was like $2,500.
What? Oh.
Don, you've got to fly.
Oh, my God. I'm insane. Like, I know I take credit for that.
Okay.
How was the show?
It was great.
It was all right. Was it worth it?
Yes, it was worth it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate that. Let's go to Oscar Pasadena, line 3. Kevin, Oscar's one of your people. He loves soccer. Hey, Oscar.
Good morning, guys. Definitely, I didn't pay $2,500 to go, but I actually love soccer so much. I'm a big Real Madrid fan.
Mm-hmm.
And actually flew to Madrid a Thursday night, got there Friday. The game was on Saturday, and I actually flew back home on Sunday. And I only paid $600 to go see the game. Amazing. I stayed on Pacific Standard Time, so I actually was awake the whole night in Madrid.
Good.
Everybody stays up late, and I was just trying to get naps during the day. So went out, saw the game. They tied 1-1, which is last October. But now excited to see him in Champions League this coming Saturday.
So you didn't even get a room while you were in Madrid?
No, it was just there, just going out there. And, again, cheap flight. It was like $650.
Wow.
Like, wow, that's something.
Cheap flight. So went, just had a really great time.
That's awesome.
But then you have to watch Cristiano Ronaldo, and that's a pain in the ass, right?
Well, you know, I love him. He's awesome. But we win this Saturday.
Thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Speaking of sports, Andrea writes in, my husband and I went to Indiana to watch Peyton Manning play as a Bronco against the Colts at their home field for the first time. He said the trip was great. It was well worth it. That's a long way to go football game. But, I mean, I guess if you're a Peyton fan, why not? All right. Speaking of sports, let's talk to Scott in Anaheim. He's on line four. See where he went. Hey, Scott.
Good morning, everybody. So, Kevin, you'll remember this. It's 2012, Stanley Cup Finals, Kings, Devils.
Yep.
Kings are leading the series 3-1. They have the chance to go to New Jersey, close it out, game five. So we took a red-eye Friday night, landed Saturday morning, caught the 5 p.m. Kings game. They lost, partied all night Saturday night, fly home Sunday, work all day Monday, game six in L.A., win the Cup.
Win the Cup.
What
How
an
about
amazing
that?
Weekend.
Pretty strong.
Phenomenal.
That's a
yes,
fan
sir.
Who goes to the away games during the Stanley Cup, by the way. That's pretty cool.
Kevin was probably there, hopefully.
Great call, Scott. Thanks so much. All right, let's switch it up. Let's go to line two, El Segundo. This is going to be Robert. You won't believe how far he went for how short a time he was there. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Kevin. I drove from Huntington Beach to Cathedral City, which is right next to Palm Springs, for a six-minute Batman trailer.
Okay. What? So why was that trailer only playing in Palm Springs? Was this a film festival or something?
No, but basically, when the dark about 6 months before The Dark Knight Rises came out, they had a event for only full scale, like 70 millimeter IMAX screens. And in the area, there's only in Irvine, the one in Universal City,
Universal, right?
In Cathedral City, and the ones in Irvine and Universal City were sold out. So the only ones available were Cathedral City, and I love Batman about as much as Ralph does. So I was like, well, I'm going to that one. So drove all the way down there, watched the first 6 minutes, was when Bane took over the plane and grabbed Dr. Pavel.
Right.
And ended. And then I turned around and went back.
You didn't see the movie that it was before or anything?
Nope. It was just 6 minutes of film.
And, I mean, you know that – did they not put that up online after it screened in the theater? That was the only place to see it.
No, they actually didn't. Not that part.
Not that time. Showed,
yeah, all right. No.
Well, I mean, you crazy, but it sounds like you had a lot of fun, right?
I did. It was fun. I enjoyed it, yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's make it Brad in Palos Verdes, please. He's on line eight.
All right. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how do you go, party people?
What's
up? 1,000 miles, Friday, got up Friday morning, drove 1,000 miles from Portland to L.A. To see Shark Island, the greatest band that never made it, with Darling Cruel and Racer X at the Roxy to drive back home. Sunday morning, 1,000 miles. Go back to school.
I don't understand any of the words
real
that you're saying.
What just happened? Are you playing Mad Libs?
1,000 miles to see. Hello?
Oh.
He's still there.
Hello?
Sorry.
Oh, 1,000 miles to see a club band, basically. Was this their only appearance or their farewell show, or why was it so important?
No, just when you combine Shark Island, Darling, Cruel, Racer X, three incredible bands that never made it. And my bunch of friends down here said, oh, you got to see these bands. They're great. They're great. And so I got up Friday about 5 in the morning, 1,000 miles.
Wait, you didn't even know them? You were just going on your friend's word?
100%.
Brad.
1,000 miles on your friend's word.
You need to get some friends that live closer to you.
Later, 20 years later, I still stand by Shark Island, the greatest bar band that never made it. So I guess maybe it was worth it.
All right. All right. We all learned a little something too late to do us any good. Thanks for the call, Brad.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. That means it's Ralph Garman time. And the showbiz beat, what's going on?
Because it is Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in the movie theaters this weekend. A lot of people went to see the Angry Birds movie. Debuted with $39 million this weekend. I was almost going to go see that with the kid. Didn't work out. Boy, was I glad.
Yep, really?
Because I ended up going by myself to the movies to go see The Nice Guys. And, man. That was rough. That was rough. That kid's running around with the screaming and the punching. And
oh, no.
So one kid fall off a Mutant Ninja Turtle statue and face plant and get a bloody nose. And I was like, this is a madhouse. So I'm going to let things settle down a little bit, then maybe take Olivia midweek to go see Angry Birds.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
Is Angry Birds still a thing for kids? They still play it and like it?
Sure.
Okay. I feel like this movie came out about 3 years after everybody was excited about Angry Birds.
Well, that's true.
Well, the thing about animation is it takes a long time to do.
Right.
So I don't know when they started pre-production on this film, but I don't think you can argue with its success.
Yeah.
$40 million opening weekend. I think Angry Birds is enough of a thing that people went to see it in the movie theaters.
Yeah, you're right.
Captain America Civil War had $34 million. Still strong for number two. Very, very good showing for Cap this weekend. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising debuted with $21.8 million. Kevin, surprisingly, was in the theater to see Neighbors 2. And I
enjoyed it greatly.
Because when he said to me, "Oh, it drives a bike into a garage door," I'm going. That's when I knew Kevin would be there the opening weekend, because a man drove a bike into a garage door. And for Kevin, that's like Voltaire. It's like the height of wit.
I want a good movie.
I want God drive into garage door bicycle ride. That was Kevin's selling point to me, was that a guy drove into a garage door with a bicycle. That was literally why he said he was going.
No, the trailer looked funny. There were a lot of funny moments in it, a lot of them.
Did you
I'm
say...
glad I went.
A guy drives into a garage door in a bike.
I said that after you said if somebody runs into a pane of glass, I'm sure that's all you need. So I told you that that was in it as well. But it was a good movie. It was really well done.
Twinkle in your eyes.
How dare you.
The Nice Guys debuted with $11.3 million. It was in at number four. I enjoyed that movie enormously. The Jungle Book was fifth. Then Money Monster, The Darkness, Zootopia, Huntsman, Winter's War, and Mother's Day rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. People still talking about Anthony Kiedis and the fact that he had to cancel the Chili Peppers performance at Winnie Roast. And it surprised me, the number of people who said, "It's a conspiracy. They're fighting with their producer and they're going to pull out all their concerts. You give me my money back." And I was like, dude, the guy got sick. He was carted away in an ambulance.
Yeah, it was an actual emergency minutes before they were due to go on. It's not like we knew about it all week long and hid it from you.
Suckers. No bait and switch. We were going to put, what was the band the guy was talking about?
Blue October
on in its place. That wasn't our plan. Anyway, Anthony's up and around out of the hospital talking about what it was actually that felled him backstage at the Weenie Roast. Here he is talking to ET about it.
Yeah, basically, I had inflammation in my guts. I had a stomach virus a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I've had some operations on hernias from singing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, because I sing loud and dance, and sometimes you rip your stomach open.
Wow.
So the scar tissue, the flu virus conspired to create an impassable inflammation. So nothing I was eating was getting past the stomach. Mm-hmm. And that becomes an incredibly painful situation where you get a fever and pass out. Mm-hmm. So I had to be pumped clean in the hospital.
Oh,
and lo and behold, I'm on the mend. But it's a process.
How you feeling now? Good?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
But good.
Not great.
No.
Still, I felt better.
Still on the mend, but
wow.
At least doesn't have an impassable inflammation in his stomach any longer.
Yeah, I feel like you could die from something like that.
Yeah, that's why they rushed him to the hospital.
I think that's the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, "I'm going to try and work through it." And the doctor said, "No, you're not. You're going to the doctor."
So. Yeah. And speaking of dying on stage, I don't know if you heard about the former drummer from Megadeth, Nick Menza, passed away on stage Saturday with his new band Ohm at the Baked Potato Nightclub in Studio City, right there on Ventura. He was midway into the third song of the set and just collapsed.
Oh, jeez.
And paramedics could not get his heart started again when they arrived on the scene. He was just 51 years old. Played on all of Megadeth's biggest albums, including Rust in Peace, Countdown to Extinction, and Euthanasia.
Does that make you happy, Bean, that he died doing what he wanted to do?
I mean,
while playing the drums?
I would prefer no one die of a heart attack at that age, certainly.
But Vin, it's all right for Vin to go out.
I don't want Vin to die. I want
you
Vin.
Said that's he how did. You want Vin to go.
I want Vin to live forever.
Do
that's
you?
What I want.
Do you?
But if he's going to die, I just think he would. I would like him to die super, super happy that the Dodgers have just won the World Series. That's all I said.
Right, and we're
right.
just saying.
And then the next moment, you said you wanted him to die in the broadcasting booth.
What a way to go, though. Right?
No. Let him enjoy it for can't a few
he,
months.
Why can't he go to the parade, have a good time,
yes.
then go home, pour himself a brandy? Turn on Downton Abbey and then just nod off.
That's another option, I guess.
You don't want him to enjoy it.
I don't want him to die ever.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Ain't that the truth?
I'm sorry for the realness.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Host of The Price is Right, Drew Carey. He's 58 years old today. He showed up at the Survivor finale. Stood up. You know, Price is Right, a CBS show.
Right.
Someone said, oh, we're having Bachelor, we're having Survivor week on Price is Right, so see if you can guess the price.
Oh, yeah, they're doing some primetime Price is Rights with other CBS shows as celebrity guests.
Yeah, exactly, so they're going to bring them on.
That seemed very organic and natural and not jarring at all.
Awkward moment of self-promotion there in the middle of the finale. 58 years old today. Melissa McBride, Carol from The Walking Dead, is 51 years old. Actor H. John Benjamin, very funny man. If you know Archer, you know his work. 50 years old, and singer Jewel is 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. We're going to open up the phone lines right now for Kevin Bean's What's Good. This is where you dial us on any topic on your mind. I'd especially love to hear from anybody who was at the 17-inning Dodgers game yesterday.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. Wasn't it in Toronto?
I don't know the answer to that. I thought it was San Diego.
Yeah, that's why San Diego.
That's why I thought maybe some of our listeners might have been there. And why do the Padres hate the Gays? Another theory, another question I have for you. But if you were at that game, we'd love to hear from you. You can call on any topic if you've got comments, you've got questions, you've got problems, opinions, whatever. We want to hear from you. It's where we open up the phone lines just for you at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, What's Good with your phone calls coming up next right after this on K-Rock. From Foo Fighters, Chris Shiflett joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Beans Show. First, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
As we mentioned, when we do this segment, you can call on any topic, questions, comments, problems, whatever you've got on your mind. And I specifically, Ali, we're going to let you talk to Jose in Long Beach in a minute. But first, I definitely want to go to line 8, Santa Ana, Lewis. Lewis was at the 17-inning Dodgers game yesterday in San Diego. He was there. Lewis, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's good, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. How many innings did you survive?
I stayed for 10 innings. Got real hungry because we were a little hungover, so we had to go get some food.
Yeah, you can't find food at a ballpark.
What?
It's one thing I know about ballparks.
That's the only thing you can do at a baseball stadium is eat food.
We actually had our eye on a place in Little Italy that we wanted to go to.
So you were only half-hearted there for the game.
Yeah, you know, it was a long drive up, long drive back, so had to try and sober up with some food.
Look, I know that Dodgers fans customarily like to get there in the second inning and leave by the seventh. So I have to give you some credit at least for being there till the end of the game. And then you stayed for one more inning, and then you thought, did you just think, I don't really care who wins this game?
No, I was there with my wife and her friends, and it was kind of hot. We were right by the foul pole in right field, so
yeah.
We were just like, all right.
That's enough.
Forever, and let's go get some food.
That's enough baseball. Let's just move on.
Well, the funny thing is you could have gotten food and then driven back to L.A. and the game would have still been on.
But yeah, but that's like a $14 hot dog.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Lewis, thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate that. I wonder what – like I was watching the Mariners and the Reds on Friday night on TV, and it was pouring. The game was late starting, and it rained during the entire game. And it looked like
they didn't run off the field and go, put a cover on the field quick before it gets wet.
Nope, they played the whole game. And it looked like about 1,000 people were in the stands. And I was thinking, what makes people stick? It was a blowout, too. What makes people stay in the stands?
Yeah, I guess I would think if it's playoffs, I could understand. But early in the season,
right.
I mean,
we're
seriously,
only like
if it's 12 raining.
12 months into the season.
Right, there's still another 16 months to go. Yeah.
All right, Allie, let's give you Jose on line 7, please, in Long Beach.
Hey, Jose.
Hello.
What's up? What's good?
So, yeah, I just wanted to voice my opinion on the whole Ghostbusters thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I am for the female cast. I am all about that. But I just did not like that it was a reboot.
You didn't like that it was... Oh, just that they were redoing the original, you mean?
pretty much. I feel like they could have done a Ghostbusters movie, like continuing to the story. So, like, let's say the original members, you know, died to a ghost or they're retiring, and then their daughters take up, you know.
So you're saying whatever the next step would be in Ghostbusters, that's what they would do.
Well, I feel like they could have done it now since there's already a Ghostbusters movie out there.
Right. No, no, I hear you. I hear you.
I'm very confused. I'm very confused by every word that's coming out of Jose's mouth. So he's for the Ghostbusters or he's against the Ghostbusters?
He's for the cast, but he's saying, why don't they do another storyline rather than it looks like they're going back and rehashing the original?
Because they bust ghosts. That's what they do.
Who are you going to call?
You want him to do a storyline where they're fishing instead? This is what they do.
Thank you for the call. Let's see. Where do we want to go here?
Let's go to Trent in Riverside. He's got a TV alert. Apparently a show he loves that none of us are watching and talking about.
Hey, Trent.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hey, Kevin Bean. She Bean.
Hello. What show can we do for you?
Have you guys heard of the show called The Path? It's on Hulu.
The Path.
I have heard
Hugh
of that.
Hugh Dancy, right?
And Aaron Paul, right?
Hugh Dancy, Aaron Paul. It's on this Wednesday is actually going to be the season finale, and it is one of my new favorite shows.
This is a show about a cult, right?
Yeah, it's a show about a cult in upstate New York and a guy who starts having visions and doubting it, and he's caught between like whether or not to follow the cult and stay with his family or try and brave the unknown, and it's not Kevin's type of show. He'll get bored or fall asleep very easily.
But funny you would say that. I just was sleeping on that part of the phone call.
I figured. But it's very deep. It's a very emotional show. It's really, really good acting. I would highly recommend it to anybody. And Allie, if you call yourself a binge watcher, you need to go and binge all of the season until Wednesday.
I do love Hugh Dancy.
I do too.
I love him so much. I can't believe I'm not watching it.
He's a creep in this show.
Well, he's a creep in most things. Which I love.
He's so slimy. I can't stand it. I want to like beat him just because of it.
That's got a lot of emotion right now.
Path thoughts. That is a great suggestion, by the way. You are not the first person that I have heard speak glowingly of The Path. But you know what? As we so often say on this program, we live in the golden age of television, and it's almost impossible to keep up with all the shows, even the good ones. But I'm glad you brought it to our attention, Trent. Thank you so much for the call.
All right. We're going to take a break. We will come back. What? Oh, that? Just play this first, and then we take the break?
Yep.
And then we come back to Chris?
Like usual.
So hit it this?
Yeah, hit that thing. What's good?
Chris Shiflett, guitarist for Foo Fighters, in studio with us right now on the Kevin Mitchell Show.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. That is a rarity.
Is it?
Nice work.
How is it incorrectly pronounced?
Shiflett. You know, S-H-I, and then, you know, you can fill in the blank. People get creative.
I found it easier than many names, but thank you, Chris, for that. How many bands are you in right now, Chris?
Too many.
I mean, for reals, though.
Well, there's the Foo Fighters is one, and then, you know, I got like a honky-tonk band that I do when I'm not doing that called the Dead Peasants, and then there's always me first in the Gimme Gimmes.
Right.
Which is
You've been with them forever.
Yeah, long-running thing.
You're also in Chevy Metal.
I'm not currently in Chevy Metal.
Oh, really?
Chevy Metal is sort of a revolving door of guitar players.
Did you get fired from Chevy Metal? Did Taylor fire you? That's awkward when you go back to your day job.
It wasn't exactly a firing. He just has different people come and do it, and sometimes it's me, and most of the time it isn't.
as Chris sat down, I said, what's it like having time off? And then the song ended right before I could hear what the answer was that you were going to say.
It's pretty great, man. You know, we're working really hard for a long time. And
you're on the road for how long?
We were on the road for, I don't know, at least a year or so for the last one. But then, you know, we were also traveling when we made the record. So that kind of felt like you were on the road. So it felt like a year and a half or so. And then before that, there was like shows we did for Dave's movie and then the album before that. So it seemed like it was just a long stretch of back-to-back stuff.
And of not having any time off.
Right. And not so, like this kind of time. I mean, this is like nothing on the calendar. You're like just kicking it for the summer. It's very strange and super unusual for us. We don't tend to do that.
Are you bored?
I'm not bored at all. No.
I got
three kids. There's no boredom.
The first couple days you weren't bored at all? Like
the first couple of months, I got to say, first couple of months, you're kind of feeling weird. And then January rolled around and I was like, I got to do something with myself. I got to start doing something here. I got to at least feel like I have some kind of
job. Now, how does it usually work with Foo Fighters? Do you guys like shake hands on the last night of whatever the tour and say, okay, we'll check back in a year? Or is everybody just sitting around waiting for somebody to call to get it started up again? Like, how do you know when it's time to go back to work?
Usually it starts, you know, Dave usually sends out an email or a text or something and, hey, you know, got some songs. Let's go.
Can you imagine he pokes them on Facebook? It's like, all right, guys, it's time.
It's time.
But usually, you know, we don't have this amount of time off. You know, it's usually
well, you
sort
certainly
of
earned
some...
it. I mean, you guys worked a lot over the last 20 years. Forget the last five. The last 20 years, you guys worked
man.
A lot.
This... I feel like there are a lot of bands that break up because they don't take this kind of time off.
I agree.
They just run themselves into the ground, and then they just can't stand each other, and they just move on to different things.
I think Dave has always had a really good sense of when to pull back.
We have had you on the show a couple of times in the past, Chris, but only in the context of the bigger Foo Fighters appearance. Haven't we done two breakfasts with the Foo Fighters? I think we have. Does that sound right
to
you?
That sounds right. Yeah, didn't we do something like that at the Troubadour one time?
Is that the one that Lemmy was at?
Could have been.
Yes, Lemmy came out on Dave's birthday or something.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, same.
all those memories just kind of blend together, you know.
I'm concerned for you it sounds vaguely familiar. For him, he does this all the time.
Right.
Why is it vaguely familiar to you?
I'm saying because I barely remember, but I do remember that Lemmy came out because it was a surprise for Dave because it was his birthday. Because
he was sharing drinks with Lemmy. That's what happened.
Right.
Exactly.
Let's just be honest.
All right.
I would imagine with all of the places you've gone and the schedule you've kept and the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows and guest stars, I bet all the time people come up to you and say, oh, I was at the show when this happened. And you're like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, but you don't say that. You just lie through it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
hey, bro.
Had a great time.
It's hard in rock and roll because every time you come through a different town, like people have different colored hair and, you know, I don't know, styles change. It's like I meet people all the time.
I've met
a million times. And I have no idea who they are or exactly what
they
do.
Do you have super hardcore fans that you see at every show? And you go, okay, let's put a guy on that guy over there.
I mean, I've been in the band, like this summer it'll be 17 years, and there are people that have been in the front row since I started.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's something.
And now you're like, aren't you a little old? Maybe move a few rows back.
You, aren't you a little old?
Yeah, touche.
Chris, what is your favorite, if there is one, of all of the crazy guest performances you've had on stage with the Foo Fighters, whether it was from Making the Sound City movie or just guests that have come out and played at various concerts around the world, who was the one that like really blew your mind that you got to be on stage and performing with?
Oh, without any doubt. I mean, it was actually the reverse. We were the guests when we got to go back up Mick Jagger on SNL a few years ago.
Oh, right.
We were his guests. That was a weird gig. That was the most mind-blowing experience. I mean, the Stones are my favorite band of all time. Mick Jagger is like, you know, the king of all kings for rock and roll for me.
Yeah.
And to get to go play a couple of songs with him and hang out with him a little bit at rehearsals for, you know, that week. It was just
absolutely
mind-blowing.
Is he the kind of guy that hangs with you and...
There wasn't too much hanging, but you're hanging at the actual, you know, the rehearsal. Every day he would show up and go like, oh, man, hey, guys, my voice is a little... I'm tired. I'm just going to kind of hang back today. And then we'd like Taylor would click the song off and he'd just start bouncing off the wall. Like that guy can't stop being Mick Jagger. He just is Mick Jagger.
Would you say he's the most Mick Jagger of anyone in the world?
Pretty much. And he came and played a couple songs with us at the after party too, which was maybe even better than what we did on the show.
Oh, gosh.
Mind-blowing.
So in your mind, as you are playing guitar on stage and you look over and you see Mick Jagger singing whatever, Brown Sugar, whatever it is, in your mind, you're Keith Richards at that point, right?
100%.
100%? I mean, that's probably the dream you had when you were a little kid.
That is the exact dream I had when I was a little kid. So there's been a lot of those kind of moments over the years, but that one was the big one for me.
All right, when you meet Mick Jagger, was this the first time you ever met him? Was the SNL thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I know in your mind you're thinking, how do I parlay this into a lifetime friendship? Like, what's the next move so that I don't, like, at the end of the after party say, okay, it was great meeting you, Mr. Jagger, and then I never talk to you again. You have to be figuring out a way to get his number on your phone or something, right?
Totally. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we were standing there talking to Don Was, and I think it was me and Taylor, and that was when we were doing a lot of Chevy Metal gigs at that point. And I seem to
recall... Before you got fired.
Before I got fired, right? And I think Taylor said something to him like, hey, man, Mick should take us out as a backup band, you know, go do some shows. And Don was just like, oh, no, Keith would kill you guys. No.
Are you going to go to the desert trip and see them in October?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, I haven't arranged tickets or anything, but maybe I could be your date. My wife wants to go, so yes, we will probably go.
It is astonishing how great they still are in after 50-plus years.
It's astonishing that they still do it as much as they do.
Well, I saw them at Staples a couple of years ago, and it was really inspiring, like, just to see those guys up there killing it.
Yeah, they don't half-ass it at all.
No, not at all.
So do you think about that in context of your own band and your own career? Do you think, man, do I want to be 70 and playing Best of You? I mean, do those thoughts cross your mind, or are you really just a take it year by year kind of guy?
You know, I used to think about that a lot, like, oh, God, we're getting old, you know, we're not going to be relevant or whatever, and I don't think about that at all anymore. I think, you know, because of bands like the Stones and everybody else in their generation that's still doing it, I just don't think it matters. I think if you're doing it
not
and having
all of
fun.
Them, not all of them are doing it well, but your band is.
Well, we're not that old yet. Come on, don't throw us in there.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you'll be relevant and good, you know, 20 years from now.
I mean, you know, I think as long as you're still having fun. It's hard to imagine that it wouldn't be fun. It's hard to imagine that you wouldn't want to go play live. You know, in front of a room full of people.
Well, I'm happy to hear you say that, Chris, because it's always so much fun when you guys do play. Chris Shiflett is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, with Foo Fighters, and he has a podcast. If the plan is to spread the word about your podcast, Chris, it is working, because I didn't know about it until this interview was booked, and it is fascinating, my friend. And we're going to talk all about his podcast called Walking the Floor with Chris Shiflett when we return right after this on K-Rock. Talking with Chris Shiflett here on the Kevin and Bean Show, guitarist for a little band called Foo Fighters. By the way, settle this question for us before we move on and talk about the podcast. For a long time, I heard it was Foo Fighters, and then the Foo Fighters became the norm, and now that's what I hear. Which do you guys in the band prefer?
I think I probably call it both of those, but our T-shirts say Foo Fighters. There's no the.
We get yelled at either way.
I don't think anybody in the band will hold you accountable.
Okay,
with
all right.
However you do
so
that.
As far as you're concerned, it's 50-50. You don't care.
I'm going to go with Foo the Fighters.
I like that. I like that. Let's start that here.
So, Chris, you've been interviewed thousands of times over the years.
Indeed.
All over this world of ours. And then you thought, hey, wait a minute. What if I were asking the questions? And you started a podcast called Walking the Floor. Tell me how it came about.
Well, it came about because I put out a record with my band Dead Peasants a few years ago that was Honky Tonk covers. And Joe Sib, who's one of the guys at Side One Dummy Records that put it out, suggested to me to start a podcast. He said, yeah, you should start a podcast. It would help promote, you know, this record. So I did. And, you know, after doing a few interviews, which was so scary, it was like, really, it gave me a lot of...
Being the interviewer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, I was just trying to get to people, either people that I knew or people that I was a big fan of that I could just cold call and, you know, get them to do it. So I was so nervous.
It's much worse if you're a big fan of theirs. You don't want to ruin
absolutely. It. Yeah. I mean, one of the first, it might have even been the first interviews that I did. It was maybe first or second was John Doe from X, who I'm a huge fan of. And I did it, I did a phoner. And so I was doing it over Skype so I could record it. And I have terrible internet service at my house. So I just dropped the call like three times. He'd be in the middle of the greatest story and then it was me and XE and blah, 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 blah. So I did it.
I can't believe you ever tried another interview after that. That would scar me for life.
I know. It was really embarrassing. I actually just interviewed him again. It's not up yet, but it was great because we did it in person. So there was no problem with that.
Kevin, tell Chris about the first time you interviewed Noel Gallagher.
Noel Gallagher. Yeah, I was, I don't know where Bean was, but I was doing it by myself, and I was really intimidated by him because they're loud and brash, and they don't put up with nonsense. So I went on the bus at the Weenie Roast, and I interviewed him, and then I got back off and realized I hadn't recorded 1 second.
I've done that.
Not a second.
I've done that.
But it's Noel Gallagher. So now I'm like, okay, do I go back on the bus like a lame ass and say, hey, I'm really sorry? But I needed the interview, so I did. And he mocked me and laughed at me and then did the whole thing again. It was great.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's pro.
I was scared out of my mind.
I've actually kind of done that a couple times, but I didn't have the nerve to go back and go, hey.
Can you just say all
that again with the same feeling?
Right.
People might be surprised, Chris. You mentioned that your band did kind of a country covers deal, but they might be surprised to see some of the names that you have interviewed. Dwight Yoakam, Sturgill Simpson, Brad Paisley, the great Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
Is country music your first love?
Country music is not my first love, but it's something that I have come to love over the years a lot. And I sort of came to it through the side door, you know, like I liked, the Stones, you know, bands like that were in their way influenced by old country and rock and roll. And old rockabilly was something I was always into when I was younger. And so I just sort of, you know, picked the obvious stuff like Johnny Cash and Hank Williams. And then eventually a buddy of mine hipped me to Buck Owens and Merle Haggard and Wynn Stewart and guys like that were part of the great Bakersfield sound thing that happened in California in like the 50s, 60s, 70s, that era. So it's just something that I got more and more into. As well as, like, you know, alt country, Uncle sure. Tupelo, Whiskey Town, bands like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I feel like if Wilco called you today, you'd go play with them.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, that was when I used to be in this band called No Use for a Name before I was in Foo Fighters. And the singer for No Use, who's passed away a few years ago, Tony, was huge into, it was like right about the time that Wilco and Sunvolt and all those bands were first putting out records. And he hit me and all that stuff. And it was really probably mostly through that I went, you know, I love that sound of the pedal steel and a nice old acoustic and, you know, to peel that onion back a little bit and see where those guys got it.
Well, it's so interesting for me dipping into your podcast. And of course, I started with the Haggard interview, but to hear you as a musician, you are coming at it in a much different way than somebody like me, who's just a fan of their music, would come at it. And that's kind of neat because you could ask a lot of questions that I wouldn't even know how to ask. And they seem to really respond to you as a musician.
Well, that's nice to hear, because one of the things that I really try to do is, you know, like when you're a band and you're out doing like the whole promo thing and you've got a new record, it just always happens that you just pretty much do the same interview every day all day long.
Yeah,
you know, all day long. So it's just what happens. So I try to not ask any of those questions. That's sort of my guiding light as an interviewer. Like, just don't ask the same handful of questions that this guy's getting asked all day long.
Here's what we do, is that we recognize that, and it must suck for you guys, but we're going to ask those questions.
I mean, it's a necessary evil. I mean, of course, everybody's, like, there's no way around it.
Some
really.
Of them you sort of have to ask, and that sort of does suck.
Sure. I mean, for my thing, it's like long-form conversational, you know, I want it to be more of a conversation than an interview and stretch out. And if it's half an hour, great. And if it's an hour and a half, even better. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I can't wait to hear you made Dwight Yoakam a two-parter. We had him on a couple of years ago too. And what a fascinating, smart guy.
That guy is a total music historian.
Yeah. I love him.
I mean, even after I turned, it was funny because the day that I went over to interview him, I had a gig that night down in Orange County, and I interviewed him in the late afternoon, and he was such a great person to talk to, and he just told story after story, and he was just going. And I mean, it got to the point where I was like, I gotta get out of here.
Dude, I'm sorry. You're fascinating, but I gotta show.
But even when I, you know, packed up and was like leaving, he went into started talking about Elvis, and he knew all these details about recording sessions that Elvis had done. And oh, he played bass on this song. It was like amazing. It's like, why am I not recording this?
Well, you've, it sounds like you've really got the bug now, Chris.
I love it. Yeah, it's fun. I've been doing it a lot this year. You know, we sort of sat down, and I never paid attention to, you know, metrics and any of that stuff for the last few years. And this year I've been trying to be a little more, you know, for lack of a better word,
professional.
And, you know, so we hooked up with Podcast One, who are debuting my Dierks Bentley episode today. Go for a shameless plug.
Sure.
And, you know, so I've been trying to be more consistent, you know, doing it every 2 weeks. And we've been just logging a bunch of interviews. I got some great ones in the can, actually.
I'll say the Andrew Stockdale one. And Bean's right. It is interesting to hear a musician interview other musicians.
Yeah. And he's funny, man. I love that guy. He's a classic dude. But he's so mellow. Oh, yeah. Big afro. He's so mellow, too. You know, it's like talking to him. You'd ask him a question, he'd just be like, oh, yeah.
It's called weed.
Yeah, he was really sick that day. Okay. Care to elaborate, Andrew?
So, Chris, I mean, it's the best of both worlds because, you know, everybody knows and loves Foo Fighters. So you do kind of have an entry point even to these people. You know, when you call and leave a message, it's a legitimate call from somebody they know of and respect, at least, right? So you are getting your foot in the door with a lot of these people that might otherwise be tough to get to.
Sure. Yeah, with a lot of folks. I mean, I interviewed Red Simpson, who's a legendary old – he's passed away now, too. But I interviewed him up in Bakersfield.
Nice job, Chris.
I know. We're like the curse of death. Dude, John, come on.
Go on the show.
So when I got to his house and I set everything up and, you know, I called him and explained to him who I was and what I was doing and everything. And he goes, so what radio station are you from? Which I think was actually good for that. You know, I mean, he's not going to know who Foo Fighters are.
Well, the podcast is super fun, you guys. If you love music, walkingthefloor.com is the website. It's also available through Podcast One. And I got it, you know, just through the iTunes app and everything. So keep doing that. And I guess we'll just wait to hear at some point there'll be a Foo Fighters thing again, right?
We shall return.
Yep.
I just don't know when. But yeah, all right. It'll happen.
Chris, so nice to come by, man. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Monday morning means we roll out a brand new giveaway for the week, and this time it's Life is Beautiful, the festival upcoming in Las Vegas with Mumford & Sons and Jane's Addiction and Dirty Heads, The Shins, and so much more. Your chance to win tickets coming up right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
It's Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Angry Birds. Big debut for them this weekend. $40 million made it the number one movie in America. Captain America Civil War with $32 million. Not a bad second place. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, debuted with $21.8 million. Good enough to make it number three. Then The Nice Guys, new Ryan Gosling, Russell Crowe film. $11.3 million. Put that at the number four slot. Jungle Book at five. Then Money Monster, The Darkness, Zootopia, Winter's War, and Mother's Day. Rounding out your top ten. We are living in the end times.
The end times.
Yep. Hope you all enjoyed your stay. But the world as we know it is now finished. Society is circling the drain. There's nothing for us to do but sit back and watch, in the words of George Carlin.
Because,
Kevin, the woman putting on the Chewbacca mask now has over 136 million views.
Yay!
Making it the most watched video on Facebook Live ever. Facebook Live's been around for like 3 weeks, though, right? So it's not that, right. that big of an achievement. But still, 136 million suckers have taken time out of their lives to watch this woman put on a child's mask in her car alone in a parking lot and laugh at herself like a mental patient.
I love her so much.
I do too. Why do you hate joy?
Why do you hate
it's
joy?
It's not about hating joy. I hate a woman sitting by herself in a parking lot putting on a toy mask and acting like that's the funniest thing she's ever seen.
Maybe it is to her.
Well,
she loves
funniest
it.
Thing to me is be when she bursts into flames someday. That would be hilarious.
Well, aren't you happy, though, that
That's the fire making that noise. It's not her.
This getting views as opposed to Kanye being an ass somewhere getting views. At least this is good. It's
just
goodness.
A different flavor of crap. That's all.
Oh,
crap is
you're
crap.
Awful. You're
I am
awful.
Kind of with Ralph Ralph's on this. I feel like this lady spends a lot of time crying and weeping in cars by herself.
Right. Laughing and crying. Like all of her emotions, I get the sense, happen to her usually alone in her car in a parking lot. Or at a Baskin-Robbins. I'm not sure where those feelings happen for her, but there's a lot of crying and random laughing in her life.
She's
generally
truly happy.
Is she?
Because
yeah.
She's away from her kids for that minute and the husband she claims
happy
to have.
Because that's, she put on a plastic mask and looked
made
in
her
the
happy.
Mirror.
Not only did it make her happy, how many people watching it actually made them happy? Like people
that's
that
what
aren't
I'm
Ralph.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. That's why we live in the end times and we're circling the drain. So...
Wow.
Bye-bye, everybody.
You're crazy.
Thank
joy
those
makes
136
upset.
Million people who sat down to watch that loon. That's a thing now. Now we have her to deal with. Thanks so much, America. Thanks, Obama.
I thought the end of your sentence was going to be the lady in the Chewbacca mask got a movie deal. I really thought that's what
oh,
was going to
that'll be tomorrow's news. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It'll yeah, tomorrow's news. Speaking of joy, I'm making a lot of people unhappy. And so I feel bad. I want to read this email and apologize quickly to Miguel Quintero from Long Beach. I don't know who you think you are, Ralph. It starts. It's bad enough we have to listen to your rambling showbiz reports, but now you punish us with your singing. First you
right.
sang The Look of Love by ABC.
Right, that was torturous.
Then the outfield's Your Love.
I'm with this
Enough's
guy.
Enough's enough. The only way you can make this up to me is to sing Tommy Two Tone's classic Jenny 8675309.
This is not a thing.
Well, Miguel, luckily for you, it is Instant Request Monday.
We don't even have that feature.
Hit it, Steve.
Ralph.
Jenny, Jenny, who can I turn to?
All right, thanks for
you
writing.
Give me something I can hold on to. I know you think of like
did he ask for the whole song or?
I saw your name and number on the wall.
All right, thanks for writing.
Jenny, I got your number. I need to make you mine. Jenny, don't change your number. 867-5309.
867-5309. All right. Ask and answer.
8675309. Jenny, Jenny, okay, you're the girl for me.
We don't have time for another verse. I'm sorry.
I feel like we do. Keep going, Ralph.
You don't know me, but you make me so happy.
It's all request Monday? Is that what you said?
I tried to call you before, but I lost my nerve.
I'd like to request that you stop singing this.
I tried my imagination, but I was disturbed.
All right. And then we know how it goes
for that. Jenny, I got your number.
Okay. Thank you, Ralph.
I need to make you mine.
All right.
Jenny, don't change your number. 8675309.
All right,
I got your number on the wall.
That's enough, you guys.
I got it. I got it for a good time. For a good time, call.
Zero for effort.
Oh.
Zero for style.
Nope.
Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
That's my apology to Miguel Quintero. Sorry about it, Miguel. And
I
feel
it.
Bad, and I hope we're good now. Hope we're,
I'm sorry for the realness.
I'm sorry for the realness, but I hope we cool. Today's celebrity birthday is Drew Carey's 58. Melissa McBride turns 51. She's Carol from The Walking Dead, of course. H. John Benjamin is 50, and Jewel is 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lumineers on the world-famous K-Rock. And hey, Jason Pfeffer from Hollywood could be seeing that band, will be seeing that band in Las Vegas for the Life is Beautiful Festival. He's going to see them along with Mumford & Sons and Major Lazer and The Shins and Jane's Addiction and so much more. He's also qualified for the grand prize drawing. Someone will go to the festival, including hotel and airfare, courtesy of the world-famous K-Rock. Your next chance to win is coming up at noon.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He needs to really get in depth and give us about a paragraph so that we all lose train of what he's thinking.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
You don't want to lose train.
Right?
No, you don't. All right, Ralph Garman is here. Time to give us a paragraph of whatever's on his mind. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. It is a Monday morning here on the Showbiz Beats. We like to take a look at the weekend box office totals and see what people went to see in the theaters over the weekend. Angry Birds movie was the big winner. $40 million made it number one this weekend. Considerable. A lot of kids were in theaters yelling this weekend. From personal experience, I can tell you there's a lot of screaming and a lot of parents just staring off in the distance, not really registering, just like a glazed over sort of 1,000-yard stare. Captain America Civil War. Second at the box office, made $34 million. Almost stayed number one. It was pretty close, but just got edged out by the Angry Birds. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. Debuted to $21.8 million, made it number 3. Then The Nice Guys at number 4 with $11.3 million in its debut. Jungle Book was 5th. Money Monster, The Darkness, Zootopia, The Huntsman, Winter's War, and Mother's Day were your top 10 movies at the box office. There's been a lot of speculation about Anthony Kiedis' health since he had to cancel last minute at the Weenie Roast. Literally, he was backstage when he had to be whisked away by ambulance to get some medical attention to what was being referred to at the time, a stomach ailment. Then the news broke, somehow it involved an intestinal flu. Some people still weren't happy with that explanation. So now Anthony is speaking out about exactly what it was that went down. It was considerably more than the flu when you hear it.
Yeah, basically I had inflammation in my guts. I had a stomach virus a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I've had some operations on hernias from singing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. So I sing loud and dance, and sometimes you rip your stomach open.
Wow.
So the scar tissue, the flu virus conspired to create an impassable inflammation. Mm-hmm. So nothing I was eating was getting past the stomach. Mm-hmm. And that becomes an incredibly painful situation where you get a fever and pass out. Mm-hmm. So I had to be pumped clean in the hospital. And lo and behold, I'm on the mend. But it's a process.
How you feeling now? Good?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah?
Not great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But good.
If you sing hard enough to tear your stomach open...
He just said that as if that's a given.
Sing less, much stronger.
You know how you sing and you rip your stomach open?
No, nope. Anthony, we don't know that. Never happens to Celine Dion.
That isn't good for you.
So, yeah, it was a significant illness, and we're all glad that he took doctor's advice and went to get medical attention immediately rather than try to go on stage and have something bad happen. So,
yeah, no kidding.
It was good news.
Hey, Ralph, speaking of Celine Dion, I did not watch the Billboard Music Awards last night.
Okay.
But I heard that she got some sort of lifetime achievement or some legacy award or something like that.
All right.
And apparently they told a story last night that her version of My Heart Will Go On, her big number one record from Titanic,
yes,
was the first time she had ever sung the song. It was meant to be the demo. She walked into a studio, she sang it one time, and they said, you know what, I think we got it. And that was the record that was released that became the biggest song of that year. Isn't that astonishing, if true?
Who said this?
This was a story, apparently, that was told on the Billboard Music Awards last night.
Oh.
As part of the tribute to her and her career.
It is. If that was a one take.
That's pretty astonishing.
You got to say, that's something.
Because that sounds like the type of thing you'd have to really work hard to get just so.
That's what happens with me, too. You know, when I'm recording something.
Kevin's also a one-take wonder. Yeah, that's what he's known as.
Nail it first time and walk
especially
right out.
Around the Grammy people. The Grammy people know him as one-take wonder Kevin. Do we have any, audio from Kevin when he was working as an announcer for the Grammys and he was recording those names for the announcements?
Corinne Bale-Raya. An unforgettable moment with an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Raya. Wow. An Corinne Bale-Raya. An unforgettable moment with Let's do it again.
Get up, Ralph.
It is so good.
Ralph.
You go, girl.
Come on now.
It never ceases to kill me.
You want more?
Nope.
Yeah, come on. Let's have some fun.
We don't want more. Yeah, coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number one. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number one. Send the number two. Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once... God it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word one. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Raya. An unforgettable moment with
We heard that part.
Yeah.
One take wonder.
Just like Celine.
Most
just like Celine. You're like our Celine.
Thank you.
Yes.
What's the point of thinking?
Right. What is the point of thinking? Speaking of music, big brouhaha. It was a big brouhaha when Blake Lively posted a picture of herself on Instagram wearing a deliciously slinky gown on the red carpet. And then she captioned it, L.A. face with an Oakland booty. A lot of brouhaha came after that.
You've used that word twice now. Take it easy.
Because there's no other way to describe it other than brouhaha. A lot of people were upset with her for saying that. Some sort of slight against the African-American community, perhaps? Or was she simply using a lyric from a very popular song from 1992? Well, who are you going to go to? Who are you going to ask about the controversy other than the man himself from that song, Baby Got Back? Sir Mix-a-Lot has weighed into the debate.
Thank God.
Finally, we have the definitive ruling on this from Sir Mix-a-Lot. They asked Sir Mix-a-Lot what he thought. They showed him the photograph. Was it racism? They asked Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Come on.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, so very happy to be asked anything after all these years, said, I don't think she'd wear that dress if she thought that booty is horrible. And to me, it ain't horrible. So there you go. There you go, boys and girls.
That's racist.
Not racist is what Sir Mix-a-Lot is saying.
Where is the outrage?
There's no outrage. Saying she's proud of her butt.
It sounds racist.
Regarding the controversy, Sir Mix-a-Lot added, I don't get it at all. She's saying she's proud of her butt. I'm glad she embraced the look because that's what I wanted with the song.
Where's the outrage there?
No outrage. Sir Mix-a-Lot gives her the seal of approval.
Bitch ass, redneck, white bread, chicken, motherfucker.
you, your mama, and everything connected to you, racist piece of...
I think you're missing the point, Snoop. You. So Mix-a-Lot gives her one thumb up.
Come on, Ralph. No,
Ralph!
Just
nobody can see
He's
that.
He's giving her the thumb up.
Right.
And my favorite musical story, oh, let me see, ever, is this story. The article begins by saying that every demographic chooses a pop icon.
Okay.
It postulates. The gays worship Cher. Black women love Beyonce. And neo-Nazis have taken upon themselves to worship an artist they have labeled an Aryan goddess. That's right, Taylor Swift.
Yay!
Has become the beloved pop icon of Nazis and the extreme right. She is the most popular singer amongst white supremacists.
Bean.
Tell me more. I'm uncomfortable with my people now.
Firstly, Taylor Swift is a pure Aryan goddess, like something out of classical Greek poetry. Athena reborn. That's the most important thing to us, writes Andre Anglin, writer of the white supremacist blog The Daily Stormer.
Is this because she's super white? She doesn't seem to have any kind of other ethnicity in her?
Yes.
Is that what they're talking about?
She's the perfect Aryan goddess.
Hmm. I don't know about any of that. Let me check these lyrics and see if there's a clue.
It feels like a perfect night to dress up like Hitler.
What?
See?
What?
Hitler.
Whoa, that was right there hiding in plain sight.
On Facebook, on Twitter, all these sites, Taylor Swift for fascist Europe. That has 18,000 likes, yeah. You know. Hitler or Swift has a popular meme about sayings from Adolf Hitler that are attributed to Taylor Swift. And they seem just like lyrics out of her song. She is the perfect avatar for the ultra-right wing. Says the ultra-right wing.
Ralph, you nailed this a long time ago when you named her.
I didn't want to bring it up, Kevin, but...
You did give her the name...
Tadoff Switler.
Right.
Tadoff Switler was a creation of mine some years ago, and I'd like to think that I contributed somehow to Taylor and her people getting together and forming this perfect marriage. So, congratulations, Taylor Swift. You're the idol of the Nazis.
I made that bitch famous. God damn. I made that bitch famous.
Said a member of the white supremacist group.
I don't think so.
You didn't sound very white supremacist to me. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Jewel. Not popular with the Nazis. Jewel. She is not one of their favorite singers. She's 42 years old today. H. John Benjamin is 50 years old today. Melissa McBride, Carol from The Walking Dead, is 51.
She scares me.
As well she should.
Just look at the flowers.
Right?
Yep.
See? Oh, I'm going to feel so bad. Someday we're going to tell Kevin to look at the flowers. And
how dare you.
Next thing you know, he's going to say, Corinne Barrett, just a confront. Then all the pain will be gone.
How dare you.
And Drew Carey, TV show host, of course, from The Price is Right. Very funny man, 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Your TV is spying on you.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Norton.
Saying that for years.
Comedian Jim Norton in studio and the Bachelorette Report.
Whoop-de-woo!
With Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis tomorrow morning.